Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Nintendo Fever Podcast. I am not How I Found This. Whoa, I know, and I'm not Matt Desmond either. Whoa! This is Mike McSurdy coming back again, hosting another special for Monster Hunter because I'm a cool kid. joining me this week again is my fellow hunter companion, my Kahoot buddy, my buddy, my pal, my hunter, my feline when I need a feline, Lucas Terminate.
Hey there, I am, as Mike said, Lucas Termini. You probably remember me from the only other podcast I've been a part of so far, which was also about Monster Hunter. I promise I do play other games, I just don't play other games right now, because Monster Hunter is still a thing.
Yeah, Monster Hunter is pretty important. We're hunting during the middle of this podcast, so if we talk or we get erratic because we're having problems hunting, I didn't eat for any kind of food skills, because I'm an idiot. Before we begin, shout out real quick to Nintendo Radio and people at Nintendo.com. I'm not sure when this podcast will go live. I'm not sure when Holly will have time to edit it and upload it for us. Hi, Holly. Thank you. But, I just recorded a podcast for Nintendo Radio with those guys. They're great. Shout out to them. Check their stuff out. They're great. They're funny. I write for them too now. But, anyway, so we're back here from Monster Hunter. Like we said in our last podcast, we're going to come back and talk about it again after we've made some progress in the game. Because that podcast was literally the day the game came out, like 12 hours afterwards, as we had like nothing under our belt. This time around, though, we have, I'm around 360 hours at least. What are you at, Lucas? Like, rough estimate.
I would say maybe 350?
No, because you're usually right around me, so if I'm around 350, you have to be around 352, maybe 360. We're around there. We're close. And right now, I am HR 130, and Lucas is HR 127. We're kind of in a little bit of competition between the two of us because of our friendship-based rivalry.
And I'd just like to point out that even though you are three stages ahead of me for the majority of this competition, I've been ahead, so I only managed to fall behind right before the podcast, which makes me sound like a total tool, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
Yeah, I popped ahead of him because I had a free day out of work and Lucas didn't, so haha. But really, at this point in the game, Hunter rank means nothing more than how much time you put into the game, because really, after maybe HR 100 or so, like, you don't unlock anything extra quest-wise unless you beat other quests, so there's no level tie-in for the unlocking anymore. Now it's just like, I guess you could say, hey, look at me, I've played a lot.
Yeah, kind of bragging rights slash, like, experience.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing I want to talk about real quick before I have to get into the article. There's kind of, the higher you get into this game, the more, like, narcissism and elite, the more toxic the community gets. It's not because the game itself is bad, but because people get really high up in rank, and they feel like they're Monster Hunter gods among men, and all of a sudden you're not good enough for them, even though, like, yesterday they were 10 levels lower, and they might be just as bad as you are, or good as you are, but they don't know that, because they value nothing by your armor and your skill level.
Yeah, actually, that is kind of a big point. I remember back when I was HR7, before I broke the level cap, I had an experience with some hunters online, where I went to join in on a room, and they instantly kicked me out because I hadn't broken the level cap yet. They just didn't think that an HR7 could do the quest, even though I was the right level for it, and I knew I had what it took. I'd done it before. So there is kind of an elitist attitude with some people online. Yeah. Kind of like with any game.
Yeah, not to say this game is totally, totally not playable if you're high up, but it's definitely best to have, like, a friend or someone to play with, or find someone online that can teach you how to play the game, and, you know, make some, send some friend requests out whenever you start playing. That's my main advice to this game if you're new, because there's a lot of new people playing this game. It's their big celebration game. Definitely send a friend request out, and definitely get people to play with you, because you're going to want that extra hand, that extra company. So back on track to what I wanted to start the game off with, or the podcast with. You know, we've been playing the game for about almost 400 hours now. You know, Lucas, like, are we done with this game? Like, have we beaten everything, do you think? What have we accomplished so far?
Well, we have unlocked just about everything. You've unlocked a little more than me, because I've put a little more, I think, time into maxing out specific weapons and things like that, getting certain armors that I really liked. You've put a lot of time into kind of trying to complete everything there is to complete in the game, I think. But we have unlocked pretty much everything. There's really not that many more surprises, I don't think, coming our way, which is kind of a disappointment. But there was a lot of content. I think really the only thing left at this point is kind of, you know, just the love of the game, the rivalry that we've got going on, and maybe trying to max out all of the different things we have to unlock.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a plate for this monster. Great. I got a Wraithian plate. Too bad I don't need it. I got a rare item that I don't need. Yay. But, yeah, same thing here. Come, I do have a bit more than you, because we're kind of, Lucas and I are back, like I said in the last podcast, we're a bit opposite in our approaches, but we do come together. He's more of the get my armor skills the way I want, get my armor working the way I want it, and then I'll do the quest. I'm more of the get the quest done, get them all out of the way, and then I can, you know, take any quest I need to get the stuff I want. At the end of the day, we come together, we're still pretty evenly kept. We're just, two sides of the same coin, as you will. But that tends to happen after the 1,000 hours plus we have together, from the maybe 50 hours Lucas has in Tri Ultimate on a Wii U and a couple hundred hours we have on 4 Ultimate to now the almost 400 we have on this game. We've shared some experiences together. We're kind of pretty synchronous with all of our gameplay, even if we play a bit differently. But personally, yeah, for you, Lucas, what are your goals now? Like, we've completed almost everything this game has in terms of conquests. Thing, the story mode and everything. You know, we've seen the story mode end twice. we've seen the silly credits roll twice already. this game cannot be serious the entire way through. It has to be a laugh in there somewhere. This game is Monster Hunter is great for that. Play this game for the credits only, or watch them on YouTube. They're a laugh. But so we've beaten everything so far. Like, we've beaten almost the whole game. What are your personal goals so far for this game? What is your Monster Hunter story mode and your in your own mind? Like, what is your objective to this game now?
Well, I think one of the big things I want to do is I really want to see how high up I can get my Hunter rank, because I'm pretty sure that the last time I played, and for you, I was at, like, 200 and something, which is well below where I am now at 127. So I would like to see that. I feel like this game moved a lot faster than for you.
There's a bug over here, by the way, because you want to get your bug broth.
Might as well. Thank you.
I don't know where it is for you, but...
I got it. But, case in point, we're always playing. But, yeah, I'd like to see that. I feel like there's not quite as much... It's odd, because there's more content, but I feel like there's not quite as much to do in this one as there was in the other one. There were definitely a lot more, I think, kind of, like, high-end things to do, but I think part of that
is because... There were more unique things to do, I guess, in the last game. There's more content here, but some of it's more the same stuff as... what you've seen already.
Yeah, I think the lack of a G rank kind of makes that a thing too, because even though there is still a lot to do here and there's more content, I feel like G rank added something kind of unique, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And there's no G rank, and for those who are still new to the game, G rank is the top end of any Monster Hunter game. It's always reserved for any kind of secondary installation to the series, like, they have Monster Hunter 4 in Japan, but we didn't get that. But we got Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, which is the ultimate version of the game, or the G version of the game in Japan. And that's where G rank comes in. That's where, like, the whole final end game comes in. More monsters that are new to the game, more levels, more areas, more weapon unlocks. And in this game, because this is just a basic, there's no Monster Hunter Generation Ultimate yet. This is still the first game in this part of the series. There's no G rank, so half that game is cut off from us. And mind you, to listeners out there who are still playing the Monster Hunter but haven't played this game yet, or haven't had a non-G experience yet in America or any other non-Japan gaming play area, there's still a lot of unlockable armors that are different. Like, there's like S armors and R armors and U armors. Like, they're cool looking, and some of them are actually G rank armors, but you don't have to fight G-rank monsters for them. There's special items you need for them. So there are some G-rank stuff out there, but the game is stifled a little bit in that end. There's not a lot of G-rank stuff. There is no G-rank. There's some leftover things that, like, keep your appetite going, but there's definitely less endgame, I feel.
And I actually want to make a point on that before we go any further with this, for anybody who's listening all the way through. We're probably going to sound kind of down on this game without meaning to, just because we've kind of played it to its extent and we've seen everything it has to offer. There's definitely things lacking from other games that I wish were here, but there's also a lot of stuff that's really unique to this game that I think we kind of talked about in the first podcast. So we're not trying to, you know, say that this isn't the perfect Monster Hunter experience or anything. It's just a different experience.
Yes. Don't take our lack of total compliments as not loving this game. We love this game, but that's why we are a bit let down or disappointed, or we want more from it. We want our monster hunters to be just as fun as we want them to be every time. But and yeah, in terms of my end, it's like what my goals are now to get one of every weapon type like maxed out, complete every great sword, which I have almost done. I'm like maybe 10 items away. Then I'm going to go to hammers, get all the items maxed out for that. And really, I want to get all my awards in this game too. I haven't done that in any of the games yet. I've always been one or two away. In 4 Ultimate, I was super close. 3 Ultimate, I was super close, but there's always some things I just didn't want to try and do. But this game, I'm really tempted to get them all. Really, the awards and achievements in Monster Hunter are like kind of like your report card, I guess, for Monster Hunter. Like, they don't do anything for you, but they show everyone around you, like, what you've done. Like, you pull out your awards and say, hey, I fought this monster and I beat him. I killed this monster and I beat him. Or, oh, hey, I beat this whole set of monsters, this whole type of class. I unlocked all these quests. You know, it's kind of like hey, I've done this. And there's no purpose for it other than bragging, right? It's just like your hunter rank, but I like to brag. I like my awards to be complete and perfected in a way. I'm a completionist when I play games, so I want to have that total thing done. I'm going to try to get my Palicos maxed out to level 52, which is the highest you can get them in this game. I want to get everything done. I'm gonna finish this game totally in and out this time around.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to do left that I think will really kind of keep us coming back for a while yet.
Yeah, and like, the way our Monster Hunter comes out in America, like every 2 years, I mean, maybe a 4-year drought. So we have to make this game last. So we'll find a way to keep going. And actually, the other day, I found a person, someone who just came into the game who was Hunter Rank 1. I don't know how he found my Hunter Rank 8 and above room, but he hopped in. He wanted to join us, but he couldn't. And I, out of the goodness of my heart, I saw how new he was. I sent him a friend request, which I found out he didn't accept, which I'm really upset about. He missed out a chance to play with me. But I'm going to take my time now after I beat everything I want to just, like, train people and get this game, like, more open and available to new hunters. Because you never know, they might love the game so much, could I help them play it, or you help them play it. They might play the next game, and they might be really good at it, and, you know, hey, we'll find each other again, we'll link up, and we'll be having a bigger hunter group to play out with. So, really, we just said this game is toxic in a way, but there's... If you have an open mind and you don't care like what people look like in this game or how they play, you'll find someone. But it's definitely good to find a friend to play this game with, locally or online.
Oh, yeah, no. There is a part of the community that, like you said, was toxic, but there's also a real big part of the community that's really friendly and just loves the game for the sake of loving the game. And when you get in those rooms with people who are really nice and really friendly and are really enjoying the experience, it's perfection. It's like the greatest thing. You could hunt for hours with the same strangers.
Yeah, and then you send your guild card out, you friend request them, and then hey, they're not strangers anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to jump ahead. We kind of talk about what we want out of this game so far. You know, we've got everything done pretty much. We've got that out of the way. I want to talk back to your actual written review of the game, because after our first podcast, I gave you the go ahead to write your review, and you did. You gave it a 9.3, and that was before we got everything done. We unlocked all the quests we can do. We unlocked all the high-end stuff. Now that you've seen the whole game through and through, like, do you feel like that ranking would still stand? Like, do you still would rate it a 9.3 or higher or lower? And kind of like just like for the new listeners to the podcast who don't read the website, like, if you remember your review or like things you might have said in your review, like, kind of talk about that. Like, what was your review? Like, the main points of your review? Like, what were your high or low points? And would you still consider that same quality of a game that you've beaten at all?
Okay, well, this might sound a little convoluted, so bear with me. I think that the score stands as a 9.3. I would definitely keep that rating for it as a video game. I think it's an amazing game. I think it's really deserving of that. I don't think we'd have put as much time and energy into it if it wasn't a really good game, especially given how more and more games today really aren't holding my attention. This one did, and that merits a lot from me. As a Monster Hunter game, I might bump the review down to like an 8.5, just because there is some stuff in it that I feel like I wish I could take certain elements of older games and put them into this game and make it like the perfect game, because it's not perfect, you know? But as far as video games go, I give it a 9.3. I stand by that because I think it really is a good game. And I'm happy to see that, actually, because like you said, when I wrote the review, I had maybe 60 hours in. It's hard to remember now. It was a while ago. But but I think some of the main points that I touched on in the review were some of the differences between this game and the other one, a lot of the new things they added in, and you notice a lot of that right at the beginning. You notice that there's different hunting styles, and you notice that there's a new way to control your Palico in battle, and all of the weapons have kind of been tuned and balanced, and it feels really solid. It feels like they put a lot of work into it. It also feels like it's definitely a game meant to take in, like, that beginner crowd. Like, I kind of touched on that in the review, I think, but I can kind of say it with clarity now, because it's supposed to be a game that represents, like, the best aspects of the series. And I know you're probably going to want to talk about that more in a little bit. But it definitely feels like it's very welcoming and allowing to new gamers, because at least new Monster Hunter gamers. Because there's a lot of stuff from the old games that it just feels more streamlined, quicker, easier to get into. Like I said, we're already at, like, the end of the game, and we haven't even hit Hunter Rank 200 yet. We've pretty much done just about every quest there is to do. We've maxed out the arena quests, and that's all stuff that I never did in 4U, and I put way more time into 4U than I have into this so far. So it definitely feels like it's faster moving, kind of more of that modern feel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like a, like, more expedited, I guess. You know, like, you get to the end faster. It's more of like that that quick fix kind of game, even though it's not anywhere near a quick fix.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of how games seem to be going anyway, with the whole, like, you know, mobile gaming development from the last 10 years or so. It seems like games are trying to get a little more streamlined and a little more quick. We're very busy. We don't have as much time to just sit down and play. And this game definitely feels like an extension of that. It's still ridiculously long. You're still going to put 300 hours into this game. But that's opposed to, like, maybe the 500 hours that you would have put into the previous game, you know? So relatively, it feels like a shorter experience.
Yeah, I'm looking at your review right now. Your positives are lots of content. Still true. A bit less than you wanted, but still true. Beautiful settings. Absolutely still true. This game looks amazing. Everything is beautiful about it. Everything is just so well designed.
Yeah.
Great gameplay. Absolutely true. I mean, it's so much more robust than the last game. And it's built on the same engine, so it's amazing how, like, tightly put together it is. Let's see. How else can I describe great gameplay? It's a lot more accessible now because of the Palico mode. It's basically pretty much an easy mode for Monster Hunter. It's a great way to play the game, but it's definitely, like, an easier way to go because it's a lot more lenient on dying, per se.
I remember when we were first talking about it, too, in our last podcast, we were talking about how Palico mode might be kind of the more difficult mode, kind of the more advanced mode. It would be the thing that, like, all the healers would want to use, you know, because they'd be able to constantly be healing their teammates and everything. None of those predictions really turned out to be true. It's really, just like Mike said, a much easier way to play the game. You can almost play indefinitely if you continue to replenish your stock before you lose a life. And you don't see many Palicos actively trying to heal players, so we were kind of wrong on all fronts there.
Yeah, granted, they are still really good healers. If you get two Palicos that just sit back and heal you while you have two other hunters fighting the monsters for you, you are set to go, but they don't usually do that very often. But, I mean, I have done that, and I have been a healer in some cases, but not very often do I have to find that. If you can kill these small monsters for me, I gotta get the carves off of them so we can kill these small Eye of Prey real quick to be nice. And your negative points were some odd design choices. I feel like that was more the fact that, like, the armor upgrade and, like, the weapon upgrade system was kind of different now, and, like the gameplay, like, the some of the hunter art, hunter styles are kind of different from what we were used to. I'm pretty sure that's what you were hinting at by that.
Yeah, the big change I think that we kind of touched on both in the podcast and in the review is that they really kind of changed around the scoring system for weapons and armor. Turns out, apparently, that that's based on more of, like, an overall score as opposed to, like, a case-by-case basis. So even though your greatsword might be a lot stronger than my little sword and shield, they both get the same numerical ranking because they're both supposedly dealing the same amount of damage. It's still kind of a gray area, and even after all this time and research, we're still a little iffy on all the details.
But yeah, I'm still refuting that, guys. I still do not believe that your greatsword... I mean, my sword and your sword and shield is doing anywhere near the same damage as my greatsword. I think it's more like my 250 greatsword is the strongest one I have, and your 250 greatsword is the strongest one you have, but they're not the same 250 in terms of, like, raw power. I'm not sure. That's how I feel about it, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Capcom can hear this and be like, no, this is how it is.
Oh, I would love to have Capcom give us a little comment in the comments section about exactly what's going on, because it was just an odd choice. Like I said in there, it was an odd design choice. We've been using the same system for all of the games, and then
the past 12 years have been the same, and all of a sudden now it's totally different for their like their anniversary game. Like, oh hey, this is our celebration of Monster Hunter. We're gonna change the way the game plays.
it really makes me wonder if this game is kind of like testing the waters for an entirely new game when they start working on, say, like 5 or whatever the next game is, because it feels like they're kind of changing things around a lot and experimenting more with, like, you know, fluid player movement, being able to use like aerial style and adept style and everything like that. The way they do the scoring and everything. It almost feels like they're kind of trying to like reinvent the series, and this is like their test dummy before they go all out, you know?
Right. And disregard the fact that Monster Hunter Stories is coming out, that's more of their other spin-off kind of game. But I feel like they might be taking their mainline games in a whole new kind of turn here, like with what you're trying to get at. So we'll find out in a couple years, I guess, when Monster Hunter 5 comes out, whenever that may be.
Yeah.
And your only other negative was there's not that many changes in the game. Do you still stand by that after everything we've seen?
I mean, it's hard to say. It's a game that's based on old games. So there's really only about 6 new monsters in the game that are really, like, new. Like, they have the deviant monsters, which those of you who've played the game might have encountered so far. But there's really not a lot of new content in terms of, like, what to hunt. That being said, we did just talk about a lot of differences from this game and the last game, so it's hard to stand by those exact words.
Yeah, and like the deviant monsters, I feel like are kind of a cop-out, in my opinion. Because this game, being a celebration that it is, we're going to skip a few bullet points in our notes here. The celebration of the game that it is, it's supposed to like encompass everything that Monster Hunter was and has been. But really, it's based on a Gen 4 engine, so from Monster Hunter 4, so we have mounting. That's like the biggest thing we have in the like, previous games. We have mounting, and we have monster hunters, and we have palicos. But there's no underwater combat, so all those cool monsters you fought underwater are gone. Plus, Yoth is back, and so is Lagiacris, but you can't chase them underwater. And plus, Yoth loves to spend the beginning half of the quest in the water. And unless you're smart enough to know from previous games to bring a frog, because there's no other talk about it in this game to say, oh, hey, frogs will attract a monster in the water if you fish with them. You have to just figure that out and bring it with you, and then he'll come out of the water and fish with it. So you have to, or he'll just wait 5 minutes to come out of the water and hit you. And that's annoying, because you can't go in the water and chase him down. Another big way, like the Monster Hunter games in the past have, like, I guess, fattened out their list of monsters, and it's always been a cop-out in a way if you look at it a certain way, are subspecies. And those are more like, okay, Raytheon is green, let's have one that's pink. And, you know, she'll do more poison damage and she'll attack a bit harder and faster. And, you know, we'll call her Pink Raytheon. And, or like, oh, let's say Zenogre, the thunder monster, let's make him a dark version, a black version that has dragon damage instead of thunder. And he attacks a bit harder and faster. This game has no subspecies in it, except for Gold Raytheon and Silver Raytheon, which are almost completely different monsters, I guess, in the minds of the creators, but they're still the same basic monster. But instead, what we have now are 10 subspecies called Deviant Monsters, which are, you fight a certain monster quest to unlock these Deviants, and Raytheon, for example, has a subspecies Deviant called the Dread Queen Raytheon. And what this one does, it attacks a hell of a lot faster. A heck of a lot faster. It attacks so much faster than other monsters. It lags the game unintentionally. The monster is so powerful and fast, the game's not properly fit to handle him or her. her poison does a lot more damage, just like any other subspecies. And it feels like they've taken away all the other parts of this game and just put that in there. And it's kind of weird, considering the last game we had like, every monster almost had a subspecies in a way. Like, the Celtics had a desert version, the ice monsters had desert versions, the desert monsters had ice versions. It just felt different. Not different per se, but like a new way to see the same monsters over and over again. Like, these deviants, they don't feel different. They just feel like they're harder to hit and they kill you a lot faster and they're more powerful.
Now, I'd like to kind of give my own opinion, if I could, because I have a slightly different opinion. And I know we've talked a lot about this, and I know we tend to see eye to eye, but I do have some differences of opinion. I never really felt like the, what's the word I'm looking for here now? Like the Stygian and the Pink Raytheon and those subspecies. I never really felt like they were cop-outs, per se. I always just kind of felt like they were different versions of the same monster, which I guess you could put as, like, a laziness kind of thing. They were more than just a reskin. They did have their own types of attacks, and they did do their own kind of things.
Sure.
And they made unique types of armor and weapons, which I thought was interesting. The Deviants aren't, I wouldn't call them exactly cop-outs either, but they feel a little less exciting because the armor and weapons that they make are all very, like, stylized in this Deviant set, and they each kind of do the same base thing, and that thing isn't that exciting. They kind of limit your creativity when you're building a set, because if you use one part, it really makes sense to use the whole thing, or you're not getting
the benefits. Because there's no customizational slots in these armors. For Monster Hunter newbies, when you have armor, some of them have slots where you can put additional skills into them. That way, you know, you can pick an armor that has, like, really, maybe a really bunk skills and put something good on it, or maybe, like, get rid of a bad skill. But these Deviant monsters, they have nothing. They have what they come with, and then that's it. When you get when you get a higher level of them, you get two extra skills that are combined into one, but if you don't get that far, you don't get anything extra than what you already have.
Yeah, and all of that being said, I do find the Deviants more exciting than probably what we're going to end up talking about next, which are the Hyper Monsters.
Yes.
But I feel like when we started hunting Deviants, they were a lot more exciting. Like, I feel like the first time we hunted Dread Queen and we had to figure out how to deal with that massive poison that she inflicts, it was really exciting. I feel like the first time we hunted Stygian and we had to, like, train to get it right before we took him out, it was really exciting.
You mean Thunderlord or Stygian?
Thunderlord, sorry. Yeah, see, there we go. Old habits. But, no, I do think the Deviants were exciting, and I actually kind of like their inclusion. I just missed the fact that they took out all of the, Stygian Zenogre and things like that. I missed the fact that they took out those other forms of the monsters just to include these Deviants. And I feel like including 10 different Deviant fights that you have to complete one by one as each hunter if you want to progress to the next one is just a lot of overkill. Like, it would have been a lot more special, I think, and a lot more fun if it was just hunt it and then you're done, and then maybe you unlock, like, a high-rank version later on. But they include all of these different quests where you've got to capture it, and then you've got to kill two of them, and then you've got to kill one and a tiny little monster. Then you've got to kill two and a tiny little monster. And it just feels like overkill, to be honest. It feels like they kind of force it down your throat and take away something that could have been really unique and special to the game and just kind of make it a time waster.
Yeah, I agree on that aspect. And, like, when they took out all the other subspecies, they took out the armors and the weapons that came with them. Granted, Deviants also have the same stuff, but, like, I can't, I don't feel justified in losing two Raytheons and all their weapons and armor just for one specially super strong Raytheon. Because the whole point of the whole Deviant lore is they're monsters that have never been killed. They evolved, they lived in the wild and evolved to be stronger versions of themselves. But I don't think that's justifiably enough to take away all these other monsters that came before them.
See, Mike, I have a theory that the only reason you don't like Deviants is because you don't get to hunt Rustor Ambrose, which was one of your absolute favorites. And
yes,
because he's not in the game, you have to hate on all the Deviants all the time.
That could be. Or the fact that the first three Deviants you unlock are Bear, Lagombi, and Tar, which are bottom-of-the-barrel monsters, no matter what you say. And we spent 2 hours hunting Red Helm Azuros, the Deviant, and we almost fell asleep hunting it. We were so bored.
I was honestly a little disappointed that they didn't make a Deviant Boldrome. I really wanted something, like, super high-end of the game that was just a monstrous version of Boldrome.
Yes, we'll get to the Boldrome later on. But moving on to, like, Hyper Monsters, or, like, I guess, like, this game's version of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate's Frenzied and Apex Monsters, that's gone in this game. There's no more Frenzied, you know, Gormagala is still here. Frenzy is still a thing you can get, but there's no Frenzied monsters and stuff. But now Apex are, like, three times as strong, super powerful. They're, like, I guess you can call them G-rank, but they're really not. They're super strong, they can kill you in a couple of hits. They have certain areas of their body that change intermittently that do double damage, but if you hit them, you get special, like, rewards in terms of, like, your Hunter Arts build faster and stuff like that. Those are kind of cool, but they're also the same monster. You don't get hyper armor for them. You get hyper parts to, like, level up your normal armor, but you don't get hyper armor for them. So they
Hypermonth.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, Hypermonstress had a lot of potential for me when I started because they were this really late-in-the-game thing that you unlocked, and you started needing hyper parts, and you didn't even really know what they were for. And I think one of the first ones that we unlocked was actually through the monthly DLC, the Okami DLC. And I fight this thing, and it takes me like 40 minutes to kill it because it's just so strong and powerful. And I was really excited. But then I started unlocking all the hyper monsters, and it was kind of a letdown. Yeah.
Almost every powerful monster has a hyper version of it. I mean, except for like your smaller, like your Gendrome and your Velocidrome and everything like that, and your Bulldrome. Like none of the Dromes have hypers, but all the powerful monsters like Raytheon, Rathalos, Zenogre, Rajang, they all have hypers, which is cool. But then you're like, oh, they all have them. They're not like unique in a way. I don't know, but I like them, but I don't like them. I'm really on the fence about them. I guess I need to just take them for what they are, I guess. I can't get rid of them now.
Hypers just kind of feel like a way to put G-rank monsters into a game that doesn't have G-rank. Like, it's just that extra difficulty of monster that you need to hunt at the end to get the stronger stuff. And now that we've kind of hit the point where we've got all the high-level equipment, they're even not really much of a threat. They're just kind of like the basic monster that we're hunting these days.
Yeah. And when you hit it like that, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of thankful they're here because I miss my G-rank stuff. But, I mean, I think I'm being a bit too negative. I love Monster Hunter. I love these monsters that come out and stuff. But, you know, I just want more. I want this to be, like, a more enveloped game, I guess.
Yeah, I had the same kind of feeling when we were playing. It's, like, it's a great game and everything about it. Like I said, don't take this as us hating on this game. We love this game. But it definitely feels like there's a few things missing that would have just made it that much better if we had had them in the game. Maybe we're just sour because we've been playing so long and there's not much left to do and we wish there was more, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, of course, we always complain, but there's the other games like Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and 4 Ultimate still have their online servers. We can always go back and play those if we miss all their stuff. You know, I don't need to be told, hey, go back and play the old games. I will play the old games if I need to, but I want to play the new game because I love it. And the servers and the hyperactivity is here. Like Lucas plays Monster Hunter Generations. I'm not going to find him on Try You Swimming in the Water Hunting a Gobble.
Yeah, this game kind of did what Pokemon X and Y did for me, actually, when they did the 3D Pokemon and I started playing that. I never felt like I could go back because I missed it so much. And it's kind of the same with this and all the different styles they've got. And it just feels like when you're going back and playing the older games now, it's you're missing out on something. You're missing out on the newest thing that just feels right, you know?
Yeah. And that kind of segues into my next point I wanted to ask you. Would you still recommend? Would you recommend this game after everything we've done as a starting off point for new players? But if not, what game in the series would you recommend people start off with?
Well, that's tricky. Like I said, I feel like this is a really good game for players to kind of get their bearings in. I actually have a friend who started playing, Emily, who just got into it a few weeks ago, and we've been going through all the basic ones.
Shout out to Emily.
But I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a good introductory game because it moves quick and it's not quite as time consuming as the other games. That being said, my real like introductory game was 4U. Like, I started in 3U, but I didn't get very far and I didn't really like it, to be honest. I think because I wasn't really sure what to expect. When 4U came out, I played so much of it and I had such a great time with it. So I almost feel like if you're willing to make the investment, maybe start with 4U and then give this one a try. But if you have a friend who's kind of more of a casual gamer and you don't know if they're really going to want to sink a lot of time into it, this might be a good game to kind of get them into the Monster Hunter spirit without having to take away their entire life playing.
Yeah. Or, conversely, if you want a game that's less challenging or, like, more open to new players in terms of, like, how you can play it, like, more accessibility-wise, this is definitely for you. Like, this has way more ways to play the game. Like, there's at least four times as many ways you can play this game compared to the last game. For every style of Hunter styles there are.
And the Palicos, I feel like, are really accessible to new players. Like, I know she loves playing as the Palico, and it is an easier class to get the hang of, you know? You still kind of figure out how the monsters fight, but it's not quite as dire and, you know, either you pull it off or you instantly lose kind of thing as it is with the Hunters.
Yeah. So, I would recommend this game still, even though I'm a bit missing some of the stuff we had in the last game. I just feel like Monster Hunter Generations as a whole is a wonderful game. It's a great game. I would still give it an 8.5 or 9 like you would as a review. And it definitely deserves all the praise it gets. Because this game shows us how important this game is, this whole series is to Capcom. They want to make this game alas, they want this game to reach new people. They want it to fly out and, you know, attract all new players they can get, because they know that Monster Hunter is a wonderful game. And just like I said in the last podcast, I think I said it anyway. I don't remember. I might have said it in someone else. But on this game, it's like if Pokemon was a bit less catch and trade and be happy, more like Pokemon are running everywhere. You have to fight them and defeat them. So, like, it has that charm and it has that allure that you can get out of any other, like, monster kind of game. So it's worth playing for sure. And I think like, this is the best game to get into it. I feel like if you're okay with, like, some content not being here, like swimming and stuff, or, yeah, anything like that, pick it up. Or you don't want to fight all the same monsters over and over again with different colors or different abilities, pick this one up. It's definitely the best one to start out with. Or if you have a 3DS and you have plenty of money to spend, buy Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, 4 Ultimate, and Generation so you can get an idea of how the games have evolved over time, and you can get a better idea of how the whole series in general works.
That's true, too. And, yeah, I do kind of agree with the Pokemon analogy. It sounds a little weird, I guess, if you don't really know the series, but it definitely has that same kind of like when we were like 8, Pokemon was capturing our hearts and making us feel something we had never felt before. And it's like the same thing now when we're in our 20s with Monster Hunter. Like, I complain to Mike a lot when we're just talking casually about the gaming industry as a whole and like how a lot of games I feel like don't capture that anymore. And I think that it's not just me. I think that it's kind of the whole system. Monster Hunter does that for me. Monster Hunter makes me want to play it. And that's getting harder and harder for me to find in games. So I really do appreciate just how good this game is. It's a really amazing game. And maybe that's why I'm so critical of it, because I know what it can be, and I know what it is, and I just want to see it be like the perfect game, because it kind of is like the perfect game for me.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig that. I need to make some stuff. if I start talking randomly, I'm trying to figure out what items I need to make here. But we've already kind of like hit on like how we feel about certain monsters and everything. Aw, come on. I need to hunt a Kezu now. I need a Pale Extract. That's great.
Guess we're hunting Kezu.
I don't like Kezu. But that actually fits perfectly into my next point I want to talk about. Like, how do you feel about the whole like the list of monsters we have in this game in general? Like, there's more overall monsters, I think, in this game, or, like, maybe not. Like, there's more abilities and, like, unlocks in this game. There might be less monsters in total from 4 Ultimate, but there's still, like, a hardy list you can fight. Like, how do you feel about what we have? Like, do you think there's a nice variety of things you can play with? Like, do you think there's, like, there should be more, should be less? How do you feel about that?
Well, I always think there should be more, but, again, that's just because I love it so much. Yeah. No, actually, I was going through the list in For You the other night, and, there were a lot of subspecies, which I miss, and I know you miss, but there's actually, I feel like, a lot more diversity in the monster grouping in this one. Like, we've got some monsters that were in 3, and some monsters that were in 4, there's a couple of new ones, not that many, but a couple, and I do kind of feel like there's more to keep us busy.
Yeah, some of that came from, like, 2 or 3, I mean, or 1 or 2, or, like, Freedom Unite, all stuff like that, some like this other PS, the Sony era, I guess you can call it.
Yeah,
so,
no,
there's definitely... Go ahead.
I'd be lying if I said that I don't hope that the DLC comes out with some, like, brand new monsters, which I know they almost never do, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't want that, because I always want new monsters to hunt, and there are a couple of culprits that are, like, absolutely missing that I would love to hunt again. I'm looking at you, Dalamadur. I miss you, Dalamadur. Please come back to us. But overall, I think there's more to do in this game than there was in For You, even though we've put about maybe like half as much or like a quarter less time into this one than we have into For You so far.
Yeah.
I think it's just because the game moves at a faster pace. So it just feels like there's not as much there as there really is, because there is a lot in this one.
Yeah. And I agree in the DLC. I wish like, because like, they keep telling when you ever hear like Capcom talk about Monster Hunter Generations, it's not just me. They say, oh, you know, we've had a game up like, we started making this game on our 10-year anniversary and stuff, and now it's been 12 years since it came out on PS2 in America. Like, you know, we want all this cool stuff to happen. We want the series to keep growing. It's like, I feel like if they're going to keep doing that, maybe, like, paid. I would pay for DLC if it involved new series monsters, but, like, bring back, like, the Baroth or the Baryoth or, the Lunastra or the Lao Shanlong, whatever it's called, I forget. Or maybe the Jen Moran. I love him. Just like bring some monsters back down in this game, and maybe they don't fit the ideal of this game, so you don't have them in here. But make the DLC like complementary to the idea that you want to have for this game being so celebratory and anniversarial. That's not a word. It is now. But what's your favorite out of all the monsters we have? What's your favorite one to fight in this game?
That's really tough. I always love fighting Zenogre, and he's like my spirit animal in Monster Hunter. But that's really tough.
That's not what I expected.
Oh, I love hunting Zenogre. He is a favorite of mine.
You know what I think you're gonna say, though.
What do you think I'm gonna say?
I don't know. I
Oh,
kind
I
of
know what
bought
you think I'm gonna
it
say. You're
for
gonna say that I love hunting Mizutsune, which is one of the new monsters, one of the fearsome four that they introduced in this one. And I do love Mizutsune. I'm not super crazy about always hunting her because she has this ridiculous bubble attack that she does, which has you like slipping and sliding all over the floor. Actually, I think the Fearsome Four are some of my favorites to hunt,
it.
just because they're
Gotcha.
so unique and new,
Speaking of
you
the
know?
Yeah, speaking of the bubbles from Mizutsune, it just goes to show you how we're still learning stuff from this game. I just found out maybe like 30 hours ago in the game that on the Mizutsune shoots out bubbles, and some of them have different colors in them. The red boosts actually boosts your attack, and the green kind of heals you a little bit. So if you see those color bubbles, run into them. You'll take damage from the red ones and stuff, or the yellow ones, or they'll give you some stat boosts.
I actually found that out like the first time I hunted high rank Mizutsune, and I kept meaning to tell you, and it just kept slipping my mind. So I figured maybe you knew.
Okay, well, see, that shows you that, we're not everyone's perfect in this game, and I play this game a lot more than you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know everything. It just shows you that, no matter how far you get in the game, you're going to learn something else that someone else might not learn like an hour or two into the game.
Oh yeah, no, you and me had a hunt a while back, and you were getting frustrated because nobody was leading that. This is going to sound ridiculous to people who don't play this game, but nobody was leading the Nibblesnarf into the barrels so he could eat the explosive barrels and blow up. And I was
Yes.
like, "You can't do that." And you were like, "Yeah, it was a
Yes, you
thing you've been able
can.
to do since 3U. You knew this. We told you this." And I was like, "Oh well, I guess I wasn't paying attention again." So like, yeah, there is a lot of stuff that you don't know until you actually like experience it for yourself.
So you say your favorite monster to hunt is an ogre then?
I don't want to sound cop-outy because I always love hunting Zenogre, but he is one of my favorites, and I think Thunderlord Zenogre just like ups the ante a little bit. He's one of the deviants that they have in this one. So I'm gonna go with Thunderlord Zenogre.
All right, I think I'm gonna go with well, if we're gonna go Deviants, I might go with Crystalbeard because I love the armor, and if you play the game right, Crystalbeard Uragon is a Deviant monster from a really crappy normal monster. I don't like the Uragon very much because it's super roly and dodgy and everything. But if you play it right, if you mine some of the rocks and it shoots out, you can get an item that gives you $10,000 per item. And he shoots out like 20, like maybe 10 of them each quest if you before you kill it, and you can also mine his back and get them as well. Excuse me.
Yeah,
So like
it's one
it,
of those.
so it's a quick money making quest, and I'm always about wasting money buying items and weapons. So anytime I can get money is great. So it appeals to my need to finish his armor and his weapons, and also the need to make money.
Yeah, it's one of those cool little things that they added in that just makes the monster feel real, you know? It's like here you are hunting this monster with crystals all over him, and like in Legend of Zelda, he would just be a monster, but in this game, you can actually take the crystals and make money out of it. It just adds to the whole, like, universe of the game.
Exactly. And okay, conversely, what's your least favorite monster to fight? Not your worst monster, but like the one you'd hate. Like you see it in a quest hall, you're like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this at all.
Well, I hate fighting anything that flies and has a tail because usually that means it's going to spread poison on me and I can't dodge it. I think maybe Yanguruga is one of my least favorites. I was never a big fan of Tigrex either, but I've kind of started to overcome that. I don't really like monsters that move really quickly and you have a hard time dodging them and a hard time hitting them. I like big things like Gammoth that just kind of stand still and let you do a lot of damage.
Yeah, Tigrex is super fast. He's always been that way, and he gets even faster in hyper and high rank and stuff. And his Deviant is really fast too. So be prepared for that when you finally fight him. This is great.
Devil Joe, who I actually really like hunting. He's just terrible and horrible to fight.
I love Devil Joe. I love fighting him. I actually fought his super form, the Savage Devil Joe. I fought him earlier today on my own, pretty much. There's two me and someone else was in the lobby. But this guy was terrible at fighting him. He kept, like, getting hit and dodging and dying. But I'm like, I got hit twice. I killed the whole monster in 10 minutes. I'm like, this is fun. I like how big and goofy he looks. He's a big giant pickle with legs.
So I'm curious, what is your least favorite monster while we're on the subject?
Young Garuga is definitely top three, if not number one, because I hate Garuga. I hate his poison. He roars like a banshee all the time. He just stuns you, and he yells, and he charges at you, and he'll run at you, and then he'll stop running at you, and just, oh, I was going to charge you? Nah, tail flip, now you're poisoned. Haha, joke's on you. I hate that. And either him or the Gypseros, or the Gypseros, the one that stuns you with his little horn. Because he'll die, he'll come back to life, you don't know when you're going to kill him. I actually had to cap him earlier, I'm trying to capture every monster now for an award. And trying to capture a Gypseros when you're like 20 rank, like, and it's low rank and you're high rank with high rank gear, it's kind of hard because you might kill him, or you might not, he might fake die and you don't know it, and it's just annoying. And then you get up, he comes back to life, and then you hit him again, and he dies for real. It's frustrating. But I think I might have to go with Young Garuga like you, because he's just a pain. I can't stand him. He's just a waste of a monster. He's a evil version. He's the evil neighbor of the Yonkutku, which is a lovable little goofy looking character who's really easy to kill. But this guy's a pain.
If you don't mind me asking, I know you're hosting the session, but are there any like quick stories about hunts you've had with other people that you want to share? I feel like this is like the perfect opportunity to do it.
Yeah, actually, this morning was great. So we were hunting a Devil Joe, who, if he hits you with his breath, it causes Dragon Blight, so it'll knock down your affinity, which is like your critical hit meter, and it'll make you do a lot more damage to Dragon moves. Also, when he's, like, really tired, he'll start drooling and panting, like if you're the monster. But his drool makes you drop your defense, which is really, really evil. But, so I'm hunting the Savage Devil Joe because it's a request from a villager, which we'll get to in a minute for, like, quest-wise. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. Like, one villager wants you to kill a Savage Devil Joe in the heated area, like, the desert. So we grab all our stuff, we go, and the Devil Joe is right next to the place where you start to level at in base camp, where the bed is at, the heal and everything. And when I hunt and I'm actually in the zone, I'm really, really good. I don't think about anything. I just run around. I dodge. I hit. I kill the monster really quickly. This guy was hunting. I was hunting with. He was higher ranked than me, and he seemed like he was like a better hunter. He had better armor and stuff, but he didn't seem to know what he was doing at all. To know if maybe his friend was playing for him or whatever, or he's just not good. But we're hunting, and I'm dodging all his attacks, and I'm fighting this Devil Joe. He's getting hit by everything. He has defense down, severe Dragon Blight. He's getting hit. And you can do this thing in a game where you can send out a signal. You press a button, you can do a little ping signal. It'll pop up on your map, like a really high-pitched pinging noise. And this guy's dying, and we're up at a base camp. I'm like, hey, come here. Let's go back to the bed. Let's heal real quick. You know, when you heal in the bed, you know, your health is at the maximum. All your native stat boosts go away. So if I had Dragon Boy, I wouldn't have it anymore. So I'm like, hey, come back to the bed, heal up, feel better. He's just walking around, getting hit by the monster, dying left and right, and I'm like, ah, jeez, now I gotta step out really hard. So I killed him, monster for him. I'm like, hey, good job, but why don't you heal yourself? He just says, lol. He just types back, lol, and he's like, I need black blood. What gives that? I'm like, Savage Joe. Where did we get that? I'm like, we just fought a Savage Joe, dude.
Oh.
And he's like, can you post it? I'm like, you just posted it. Post it again. So I'm like, So eventually the room filled up, so now there are four of us. So I posted my version of the quest, because villager requests, you have to do it yourself to get the reward. So I posted my version of it, and everyone else joined the room but him. He's just standing in front of the person who picked the quest. He's like standing there for 10 minutes, and I'm like, hey, are you alive? Are you coming? Are you coming? And I'm like, okay, you know what? Have a good life. We're going on without you. And like 5 minutes into the quest, he finally left the room. I'm like, I don't know anything about him, but he was definitely a character. He's definitely my bane for this morning. I had a good hunt until he came around.
Special hunter memories with your friend.
Yes, my new friend. I think his name was like Maul or something, like MAW. So, or like, I don't know, but he was not good. What about you? You have any like special monster hunter stories that don't involve me that are like just catch your eye, or even with me, like special hunts that like brought a tear to your eye, either joy or agony?
I do have one actually, and I wasn't thinking about this when I brought up the topic, but I, and you've heard the story, but our listeners haven't. I join a room, and I see that the room is full of three other players who are all cats. They're all playing as the Palicos.
Oh, I love this. I love this story.
And I'm like, well, this is odd. I wonder if they want me in, because, you know, I don't play as a Palico. I just play as a human all the time. But I'm like, I'll try. I'll give it a try. I go into the room, and I'm like, hey, is it cool if I play as a hunter instead of a Palico? And he writes back, and he's like, do whatever you want, nya. And he does the little, like, Japanese N-Y-A for, like, meowing as a cat.
He was talking like a cat, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm thinking, this is going to be a fun group. I could get into this. So we're hunting to Rajang, which, again, is another quest, I think it's a villager quest.
It is.
And for those of you who don't know, Rajang is kind of one of the more, like, high-end, end-rank monsters. They're these big
he's a giant monkey with I don't know, like, elk horns, and he shoots thunder beams at you, and he can, and clearly someone who made this monster loves Dragon Ball Z. He turns Super Saiyan, he has his big giant yellow hair, starts bumping his fists around, and he starts throwing like super powerful beams at you, and he
demonic lightning Donkey Kong. I feel like it's a good descriptor for him. So we're hunting these things, and we lose a couple of lives. You know, one of the cats is a little less experienced and everything. The more experienced one is like, hey, come sleep at the bed. You can heal yourself. You can get back into it. But we manage to pull it off, and I get back into the room, and they are all just like the happiest cats you have ever seen in a video game. And you probably haven't seen that many cats in a video game. But these guys were ecstatic. We get back, and the guy types in all capital letters. He's like, you three are... And I thought he was going to get, like, really pissed at me or something, because sometimes hunters get kind
of... Hi, Holly.
...angsty. I thought he was going to get very angry at me. But he just writes, like, you three are legends! And he's, like, dancing, and he's excited. And I love that in the community when you get into a group with people and they're friendly and they're having fun and, like, you all click on, like, a really primal level and the hunt just goes well and you like each other because of it. You become, like, almost like little mini friends while you're doing the hunt. It's just a good feeling, and that was a really good experience for me.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to talk about. If you're coming in, if you're trying to get, like, a foot into this game, you want to, like, make friends and, like, not bore people, change your shout-outs. Don't say, hi, how you doing? I mounted it. Good job. Hunter Art 1, activate. I know, especially me and Lucas and, like, all of our friends, we like to have some kind of, like, character, because, like, if you play the game for 300 hours, saying I mounted it over and over again is going to get really boring really quick. So change your stuff. Like, be yourself. Like, put yourself into this game. Don't be, like, kind of creepy with it, but, like, you know, say, oh, hey, like, for example, right now we have, like, a Legend of Zelda CDI quotes, like, We'll start a quest. I'll be like, squalala, we're off.
Or we'll, like, finish, if you can't... we'll be like, I just saved you from Ganon.
Or, like, we'll start the, we can't find a monster real big. It sure is boring around here. So, like, it's just, like, laugh and, like, get people to, like, enjoy the quest and, like, talk to you. And, like, get friends going. So, like, be a character. Like, don't be boring in this game.
So, yeah, exactly.
Like, so, like, when you have, like, cats being like, meow, 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 it's pretty, it's a great story. It's hilarious. I like that. But real quick, I know we have the same answer to this one, but what's the worst monster in this game? What's the worst? They shouldn't have even made this monster. Who is it?
Oh, I know what you're going to say, but I don't want to say it because I think he's adorable. You're talking about Boldroom, though, aren't you?
I'm talking about Boldroom.
Okay, you think he's the worst monster in the game. I think he's just like the adorable little, like, Dan from Street Fighter character that doesn't get a chance. Because I can never kill it. I have to always cap it because he waddles around on his little pig feet and he takes it, like, 30 seconds to kill.
And when he trapped him, he falls on his back. He's like, no, no.
But that's why I said I wanted him to be, like, the end game boss. Like, this is already a sillier monster hunter than most of the monster hunters. I wanted there to be, like, a super powerful Boldroom because he is really fast. And if he wasn't so weak, he'd actually be kind of an annoying hunt.
Yeah, he does. He runs around in a circle a lot. He's super annoying to kill. But,
Yeah, he's definitely, like, I think the worst monster. Like, if you were ranking the monsters from best to worst, he would be below the worst. Yeah.
He's like the little Bofango that could, like, he's like the one Bofango who wished really hard, went to school, got a degree, went to Monster Hunter Academy, and he said, you know what, you could be a boss monster, you can come ahead, you know, put this little hat on your head, put this big giant fur on, and be a Boldroom. We'll call you Boldroom, you can be a monster now. And he's like, yeah, he runs out into the Arctic. And we're like, hi, what's up? Big ass, big swords everywhere. Pop, 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 pop. Oh no, I'm dead. It's been 2 minutes.
Yeah, Boldrome is like deviant Bolfango, if that was a thing.
He tries
so
hard.
It's like the Bolfango that grew up and got big and strong, and he takes like 3 times as much time to kill, which is 30 seconds.
I mean, yeah, he sucks, but I wish he was better. And he's the worst because he's just the worst, like, overall. He's a cute little guy, but he sucks.
But you have to admit that mounting him is possibly the greatest thing you've done in this game yet.
Yes.
You jump on top of him, and he just takes off. Like that scene in Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess where you're riding on the back of those big desert monsters, and like you're dangling off, and you can't control which way you're going. It's just like that. He just takes off in like a circle, and he's running 100 miles an hour.
It reminds me of like an old like 1980s sitcom where the Benny Hill music starts playing. That you jump on a monster, it's like running around in circles. It's just like... it's like a cute little like 1980s like cheesy like sitcom. Like, ha, look at him going. You can't keep hold of him. Haha, ha, so funny. But poor Boldrum. You get the participation award. You tried. We already hit up on the content in this game, like being left out. You know, I wish there's more swimming and stuff. I wish there's more content overall from previous games. So we don't got to hit up on that again, unless you have anything more you want to add to that, like content wise, that you wish you would have added from the old games or maybe put new stuff in. Anything else you want to add to that real quick?
I feel like we've kind of complained enough about that, you know? I mean, we sounded really negative with that, and it is what it is. There's things that are here, there's things that aren't, you know?
Let's talk about some good things in it. Let's talk about the DLC for this game, because like every other Monster Hunter game so far has had DLC. It's free, and we have a year's worth of DLC. The first Friday of every month, Capcom puts up the DLC around like 5 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, maybe even 3, I don't remember. Like, it's sometime when I'm awake in the morning. But you get the DLC out, and this time around, for Monster Hunter 4 and Generations, Nintendo has collaborated with them. So now, like, you can make a Metroid armor, you can wear the Hero's Tunic from Zelda, have the Master Sword. You can make your Palkos look like, I don't know, like Mario and Luigi.
They've got one that hasn't come out yet, but that they've teased, which is the Sword and Shield Falcon from Fire Emblem.
We're getting Star Fox out now.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel the DLC? Like, this is like the DLC in general. How do you feel about it? Like, do you think it's cool? Like,
there's no way that a year's worth of free DLC isn't cool. Like, it could be bad DLC, and it's still cool that they're making new content for this game for a year, especially since they don't gain anything from it. It's not like playing Monster Hunter more makes them more money, because there's nothing to pay into. They're just doing it because they love doing it, and they want you to enjoy their game, and that's really cool. Yeah. But the DLC, besides that, the DLC is good. The DLC is like what keeps people like you and me who've nearly finished everything there is in the game coming back month after month, because there's new content, there's new stuff to do, and there's some of the most challenging quests, in my opinion.
Yeah, so when the DLC first came out this month, or last month, I think it was, for the Metroid mission, you have to fight a Hyper Yon Garuga, which we already talked about how much we hate that monster, but Hyper is like 10 times worse. And we haven't fought any Hypers yet, so we're like, oh, this is really bad. We can't even do this. And now we can take care of it no problem, because you split between the two of us, I bet. So, like, it's interesting how, like, the DLC, like, it gauges you. Like, and every month it's a little bit of high rank and low rank for beginners, too. And it's worth doing all of it, because, like, you make a little, like, first month, like, the first DLC came out with a game. You do some low rank quests. You can make an outfit for your cat. It's a cardboard box. How cute is that? Or now you can make a DLC for your character to look like some Shonen Jump characters from some comics, or like, so there's like a tie-in from Universal Studios Japan, have this big flamboyant armor, or like Strider's old Super Nintendo game, I think it was, or Sega Genesis Strider. Never played that before, never even heard of it until it came out. That's cool. So I like how like they put more into it. I wish, like I said before, they put like new monsters into the game, like new for this game, like old monsters into this. I wish they'd include some stuff like that. But like the DLC has been really good so far, and I wish it was more than a year, but I like how they support it for that long at least.
Yeah, one of my favorite DLCs that we didn't mention in like the slew that we just did is the Monklo DLC, which, if I'm understanding correctly, is an actual like fashion brand.
Yeah, it's a Japanese fashion brand.
But
they had a collaboration with Nintendo a couple months ago for like a t-shirt design.
That's nice. Yeah. But they usually have the DLC. It's been in, I think, at least it's been in 4 and in this one. I don't know if it was in 3U. I don't even know if 3U
did DLC. It was not in 3. Not in 3.
But the thing that I like about that is that they actually, like, design outfits that you can wear in the quests and the hunts. It's like right now I've got on, like, the little jacket with the t-shirt underneath, and they just look a little more modern and a little bit less, like, you know, giant clunky armor. And I appreciate that because I like my hunter to kind of look like that. You know, I've got the pompadour and everything. Sometimes I go out in the sunglasses. So for me, I love the really, like, modern look. I love looking like some guy who just, like, stepped out of his house and went on a hunt, you know?
Yeah, real quick, you know where we're going?
Not a clue.
I'm following this guy for no reason. This is a guy with a psychic skill who knows where all the monsters are. All of a sudden we're doing this podcast. I don't know where we're going.
Me and Mike were hunting some of the big endgame monsters, which we won't spoil for you, but there are some really big, like, arena-type events that you have to do at the end. And I switched from the item that just lets me see where I'm going when I'm hunting monsters to an item that actually helps me kill the monsters faster, because you kind of have to bring your A game to that. And I haven't switched back yet, so I'm not my usual guidey self.
Wish I would have knew that, but yeah, no problem. I found them. I'm here. You're not. I win.
Welcome. I'll be there soon.
But I think the DLC is, like, really cool, the fact that, like, there's so many collaborations. I forget... Phoenix Wright has a guild card background in this game. There's no outfit for him. There's an anime called Fairy Tail. I don't know anything about that anime, but Holly watches it, so she can tell me about it.
That's Holly's guild card right now, right?
Yeah. Like for the 40 hours that Holly played, she had that as her background. But the random anime tie-ins and, like, random, like, mangas are in there too. We might be getting, like, a Naruto. I heard rumors about a Naruto armor. I'm not sure that's true, or like a One Piece or something like that. I forget what kind of shonen manga we're going to get.
In 4U, they had the One Piece set, but it was exclusive to Japan, which was weird because most of their stuff is, like, global. Like, a lot of the stuff in this one that I've never even heard of has been global. But yeah. One Piece was one of the ones that was exclusive to the Japanese players in 4U, and that actually really bummed me out because they had some really cool weapons.
There's always been Japanese exclusive DLC. Like, some of the weapons we got in Tri Ultimate, like, they look pretty cool, but if you saw the Japanese versions, they're, like, so much better for the same quest, like, more. But, like, I don't know. They don't get our weapons, so, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, that's true. There's just a little give and a little take, you know? But I feel like we're getting a lot of anime-inspired weapons this batch, you know? There's the bicyclist one, there's that one that I've never seen with the demon and the spear. So, I don't know, I feel like there could be a little more potential for that this time around.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know what else I can talk about. I don't know what else I can say for DLC, but, like, other, like, quest-wise that are, like, really cool. This time around, this is kind of fall back into the content section of the podcast where I was kind of complaining. This isn't a complaint. I kind of like this. There's this thing this time around, because of Generations, because there's so many things going on in this game, old characters from old towns and stuff come back. Like, I started in Tri. So when I found out that, like, people from Tri came back, like the chief from Moga Village and, like, the Loklak people came back, like, then you can talk to them and hang out, and they give you quests to do. Like, oh, hey, I gotta go back to Loklak, but these people are in the way. Can you kill these monsters for me and stuff? And it's cool, and you get stuff for that. That's new to this game. In Monster Hunter 4, if a villager ever talked to you about something, it would just be an urgent quest. Hey, do this real quick. Okay, thanks, whatever. This time around, you get a quest, and hey, if you do this, I'll give you this reward. And you get this cool armor and stuff that might be relevant to my character or my game. Like, you do a Loklak mission, you get a Loklak armor. You do a Moga Village quest, you get some Moga armor. Or, like, you get a special weapon and stuff. I just unlocked a hammer from Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate from the Village of Hearth. It was, like, the Hearth, like, mascot hammer. So, like, you get some cool quests like that. And, unfortunately, I've only one more left to do. I unlocked the last one this morning. Really upset about that. But at the same time, there's a lot of those you can do. There's been at least maybe like 30 of them I've done. I forget how many there are. I'll have to check in a minute. But, like, it's cool because, like, even when it's, like, already in the game, there's, like, hidden stuff tucked away, like hidden rewards you wouldn't find any other way unless you did these quests for them. Like, it plays under Monster Hunter nostalgia. It plays on, you know, like, the whole getting the fancy stuff. Stop manning the monster. I want to mount them too now and then. Lucas. But
play Ariel.
Yeah, I know. But, like, how do you feel about the villager quests? Like, they're kind of goofy. Some of them are, like, you have to deliver items. Some of them are kind of meaningless. You don't get anything cool for them. But, you know, they're there. And you get some nice doodads at them sometimes. And it's nice seeing all your old friends come back from old games, you know?
Yeah, well, I think my favorite thing about them is that you get some items that were in the old games. You know, like, there's specific weapons and armors and stuff that you get to see again. You get to see some of your favorite characters, even though the character building in Monster Hunter has never really been the biggest draw. But, I don't know, there's a lot of really kind of, like, fun little callbacks to that. Like, the Tanzia chips. One of the things you can get that's, like, totally meaningless, as far as I know.
Hey, there's a bug over here.
Oh, cool. You'll be talking to a guy who comes from a town from one of the older games, Tanzia, and he'll give you one of the items you could get in that game, which is just like a bag of potato chips, pretty much. And all it does is heal a little bit of your life. It doesn't do anything special, but it's just kind of like one of those little callbacks, you know, like a cool little item from the old game that you can hang on to if you really wanted to keep it, and it's special. I like that about it.
Yeah, and like, it's just a Capcom, you know, being... You know, as weird as they've been with the other games, like Street Fighter is like super DLC ridden, like paid DLC, like all that's not the best thing in the world. But that was just this game. They really try to like make it like open and friendly, and like having like nostalgia play into it. You can get all this free stuff, and I don't know. Capcom can do right sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, the only other game that I've seen really do that as well as this one has, if you could even say as well, was Splatoon, with all of the updates that they came out with over time and the new weapons and stuff. But I feel like just all of the new quests and content that you get over like the course of a year when you're playing Monster Hunter really makes the game last a long time. It really keeps it fresh and it keeps it exciting, and you don't get that like with any games, even good DLC, like the Mario Kart DLC. You have to pay for it. And like, they were fair with their DLC, but you never got it for free, you know?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling knowing that there are developers out there who are doing stuff like that just for like the sake of the love of their game. They want their game to be good, and they want people to be playing it, and this is how they do it, you know?
Yeah, they say, hey, you know, we'll lose a little bit of extra money. You know, but we'll get all these cool people to say, oh, hey, Star Fox is in this game. I want to play Star Fox. Or like, oh, hey, I like Zelda. I want to play as Zelda. You know, you play as Link, but whatever. Like, oh, hey, you know, I like this anime. This anime is in this game. I want to play it now.
Yeah, that's nice. And, you know, I do give Capcom a hard time with a lot of their stuff, because I feel like they've kind of mishandled some of their series in the past, and they were never one of my favorites, but once I started playing Monster Hunter, I really got a newfound respect for them, at least the dev team that works on Monster Hunter, because they do a really good job making these games. You can tell they really care about what they're doing. They care about their craft.
Yeah. Are you trying to capture this monster, or you just put a trap down for the heck of it?
Just put a trap down, just in case we need to do some damage.
Okay. This is, like, a really thoughtful question here I want to ask you, but, like, we're at the point now where, like, we're getting most of the mainline games from Japan over, like, here now. We're not getting, we didn't get Monster Hunter 4, but we got 4 Ultimate. We're getting, like, every generation we get a game now. Generations. We're getting all the mainline games, which we didn't get for a while. Like, for a while, they're, like, you have to import them or wait forever to get some kind of, like, HD release or a port for a different console. But we're getting all that stuff now, and I feel like they're trying to like grab hold of the American market and like get a foothold. They know that their game is good. They know if they can get a good fan base, they'll have a fan base for life. They see like Japan loves Monster Hunter passionately. People like play that all day long on trains to work, on subways. Like, they'll play wherever. Like, do you think with all the enticing things they have, DLC wise and everything else going on, do you think that they can possibly get that same kind of allure and attraction in like out of Japan, like in America especially, with how like machismo our games tend to be, like first person shooters and stuff? Do you think Monster Hunter can get like a popularity stakehold?
I mean, we're the country that put frowny faces on Kirby, on like all of his box art, just to make him a little bit tougher and make him appeal to us, as opposed to like the little happy Japanese Kirby. So I don't know, I have my doubts. And forgive me for using these words on a Nintendo Fever podcast, but I really kind of feel like it's something that would appeal a lot more to, like, the PlayStation demographic than the Nintendo one. Just because, and I'm not saying that, like, Nintendo gamers don't enjoy these kind of games. I'm, like, a pure-blooded Nintendo gamer, and I love this. But I don't know. It just feels like the kind of game that's really meant for, like, a Japanese audience. And I think that really, as Americans, we've kind of melded a lot more with the Japanese culture in the last, like, maybe 20 years. I mean, as soon as Pokemon came over, we kind of, like, incorporated a bit of that into our own culture. But it's tough. It's a tough call. I always kind of feel like it's more of a niche game than anything else. Like, I'll talk to people and I'll be like, oh, do you play Monster Hunter? Do you play Monster Hunter? And, like, 9 times out of 10, my gamer friends will say, like, either I've never heard of it or I just never had much of an interest in it. And the 3DS is a really accessible system. So you'd think that there would be a lot more people jumping onto it. But the few people that I do find that play it really seem to love it and really seem to kind of play it for life. So I guess if it could grab enough people, it could really kind of stick around, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's where we come in. Because, like, you know, people say, oh, I don't know it or never heard of it. Or, like, I have not really thought about it. I guess it's our job to, like, get that appeal into them. Because, like I said, people who play it, they turn out to usually love the game and play it a lot. So we got to... I guess we got to be like the good advertisers that we are. You know, we love the game enough to do a podcast. We should be able to like convert a few people like on the street too. I guess, you know.
We love the game enough to do 2 podcasts and a review. So
yes,
yeah,
and hopefully hopefully extra podcasts too. I was hoping maybe like you, me, and Holly could. Hi, Holly. I hope you're listening because you're editing this. We can do like a tips and tricks edition for Monster Hunter Generations, like in general, like. Like tips for like new hunters and advanced hunters and like things you might not know and like things to help get the quest done better.
That would be really fun. Yeah, I'd definitely be into that if we could get Holly on board.
If not, we can just do it ourselves. But you know, her and I talk about it for a lot for Ultimate. We never did it because we were.
People would get really bored of just hearing you and me. We need to get Holly into it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. A female voice might help. Hi, Holly. But I was gonna ask you something else. I forget what it was, but I'm dying.
Could it have been about whether I plan to buy future games or not?
Well, that's on there too, but it was something else related to what we talked about before. But yeah, do you see like you being more of a Monster Hunter buff, or do you feel like after all the hours hundreds of hours you put into this game that you know you might be done for a while? How do you feel?
Monster Hunter would have to really mess up to lose me as a customer at this point. Because, like I said, and like I will continue to say for the coming years and decades of my life, fewer and fewer video games are really drawing me in like they used to. I think I've got maybe like 2 or 3 series right now that I'm really in love with, and Monster Hunter is one of them. So unless they totally change things around or they stop innovating or it just becomes really tired, I don't see myself giving the series up at all in the future.
Nice. Yeah, me either. I've been tied to this game since... Monster Hunter Tri came out in the Wii back in 2009 or 2010. I forget when it came out. But my buddy Mark got me into it, and I still play. He's got a life now, so he can't play. This is one of those games where I found out, like, playing casually is very hard to do. Like, playing this game, like, hardcore and getting to know the game, super easy when you get into it. But playing this game on your own, playing a game, like, every now and then for a couple hours, it's almost not doable.
You really have to have nights where you just sit down and you're like, okay, I'm going to eat dinner and then I'm going to play until I fall asleep.
Yeah, because like this game is so intricate and detailed, you miss a lot if you don't play this game a lot.
And you don't have to play as much as us. You don't have to put all of that time into it. But if you can just set aside like little chunks, like it's one of those old school kind of games that takes a lot of your time. Like how I was saying, like a lot of new games just go by really quickly. This is a game that you need to be able to sit down and play. And as adults, you know, that's a lot harder to do than it used to be. But
yeah,
you really got to just dedicate a little bit of gaming time to it if you really want to get anything out of it.
Yeah, the more like our lives you can grow, like families come up, you know, we get older and older, unfortunately, as you know, life happens. And my buddy Mark, you know, he was always in this game. We played every night on Tri. You know, we'd come on, we'd play, wait for Jen Moran to show up. We'd play him till he died. But now he's married now and has the family and stuff. He doesn't play. My buddy John, he doesn't play anymore either because this game is not accessible for him. He can't waste hours on hours talking to me and having fun with me. He has to take care of her family. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to me for a while so I can just play Monster Hunter. As nerdy as that sounds, I just want to enjoy this game because this game has so much to offer. And I've made a lot of friendships over this game. I don't want to have to put this away for a while yet, you know?
See, now the secret is to find a wife who also hunts and then indoctrinate your baby child with hunting. Give them little stuffed toys and everything Monster Hunter and make them love Monster Hunter.
I've already given you stuffed toys. What does that say about me?
Yep, I got a beautiful Mizutsune the other day, which I would absolutely give to my child and just, like, sneak in his crib at night so he could find love for Monster Hunter. Because I definitely want to keep playing this game. It is one of those games that I don't even know if this is a real term or if it's something I just made up, but it's like a lifestyle game, you know? It's a game that you play, and it's just a part of who you are, like Pokemon. You play it, and if you're really into it, it just is something that you are. You're a graphic designer, or you're a veterinarian, and you're also a Pokemon trainer. You're also a Monster Hunter, you know? It's one of those kind of games. So I just have a hard time picturing totally giving it up. I could see hunting less, but giving it up just feels... way too much.
Feels like a sin at this point.
Yeah, really.
If you feel like an insult to the thousands of hours of wasted playing this game, though, I just put it down forever.
Yeah, right.
I'm still laughing at my head with the Mizutsune in the baby basket. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Mizutsune's gonna hip check you, and then you'll die.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a perfect little nursery rhyme. No hidden meaning to that one at all. It's just straightforward. Mizutsune will hip check you and bubble you, and then you'll die.
Exactly. See, that's what we need to be teaching our children so they can grow into strong, capable hunters.
Watch the hip check. Oh, that's a good advice. Any kind of monster with a long body, watch that hip check. Plesioth's hip check is diabolical. So is Tigrex, so is Baryoth, and Baryoth, and Cephalos. I forget Cephalos is a monster until now, if I said it. Watch those hips, man. Sweep the legs and watch the hips. Those are important lifestyles for everything, but especially Monster Hunter. You have anything else you can think of you want to bring up about this game right now? Three people, now that we've gotten the game down pat, this is our game now. We have this game in our minds. We can play this game in our sleep. What do you want to say to people who try to play this game? Like, out of all of our experience, how can you... and I, like, layman, our experience into this game to get new people to play it. Like, what's your advertisement now compared to what was in the beginning of the podcast, of the first podcast?
Are you looking for, like, advice for someone who's just starting out, or are you looking for, like, a selling point?
Like, a selling point. Like, you got this new monster, like, this new fledgling hunter who, like, wants to get into Monster Hunter, but he needs a bit more of a sell to get into it, like... And you have thousands of hours of experience playing Monster Hunter. How can you take all that, put it into one little candy, and feed it to them?
I would say every time you play the game is an experience, and every experience is a little bit different. And it doesn't have to be a long experience. It can be a quick little half-hour hunt. But every time you play, you're going to experience something new, and that's really rare in a video game. And I think that's worth the buy right there.
Absolutely, that's a good way to put it. Where is this monster? He just went to go sleep. Where did he go?
For those of you who can't see our systems right now, me and Mike have been running around the map for the past 10 minutes or so like madmen trying to find a particular monster, and we can't find it.
I keep finding it, I keep hitting him, and then he runs away. Like, if you don't find a monster in a certain amount of time, they'll fly somewhere else, but really, he's there?
Yep, I've got
him. He's in 7. Okay, that's different. Do you have any tranks?
Nope.
Neither do I.
Oh. And he's flying.
Hopefully he flies here. But I think
you guys get the play-by-play of our experiences.
Color commentary brought to you by Mike and Lucas. But I think if I had to sell this game after my 500,000 million hours of Monster Hunter, I would say, come into this game with a sense of purpose. Like, you want to grow in this game. You want to grow. Like, this game, you start off picking flowers and mushrooms, and then 20 hours later, you're fighting a giant two-headed dragon made out of bones. See how I avoided the spoiler there, Lucas? That was good.
That was good. That was good.
But you fight this giant monster out of nowhere, and you're like, gee, when I started this game, I was picking mushrooms, I was having a hard time, like, sharpening my weapon, and I didn't have items, now I'm taking down these giant dragons and elder monsters. Kill him for me, Lucas. I'm not anywhere near him. But
go on.
Actually, don't kill him. I need plates. No, kill him. Go ahead, kill him. I don't care. Coming to this game wanting to achieve something. You want to be the best you can be. You want to have a sense of accomplishment. Like, if Pokemon could, like, grow and evolve, like, not what they do, but, like, your Pokemon could just age, and, like, you could... And your trainer age, and you train to become a more seasoned hunter. or a Pokemon trainer, I guess. I'm getting my games mixed up now. It's getting so it's like 1 o'clock in the morning right now. we've been doing this for a while, but I guess if you wanted to, you want to see yourself grow. You want to see yourself become like a god of monsters. You want to see yourself slay a giant monster. You want to see yourself like go from tiny little guy wearing like a green shirt and like a hood made out of a Bullfango to like Teostra helmets and like Furious Rajang, like Shogun armor. Like, do you want to see yourself change as you play? Yes, play this game. Do you want to see yourself take down giant monsters that can kill you in one hit? Yes, play this game. Like, do you want to have a good community of friends that'll grow on you and have a nice community that'll teach you things and, like, hold your, like, not hold your hand, but, like, help you grow in this game? Play this game. Like, Call of Duty will not give you, like, a growing community. Like, Battlefield, you won't get that. You'll get this in Monster Hunter, though. If you want to play one RPG in your life, play this game. That's what I would say to people. And it's worked so far, so I guess I don't know.
I would also add to that, and this is kind of just for people who are playing who have a friend. This game, like Mario Party tears friendships apart. Dokapon Kingdom tears friendships apart.
This game,
Mario Kart tears friendships apart. This game builds friendships. Yes.
If you want to have fun and be a goofball or hunting monsters and say things like meow or what else can we say on here?
Mike's trying to filter through his chats for something that isn't dirty. So
Or, like, you want to... Yeah, thanks, Lucas. I appreciate that. Or you want to, like, be annoying and say, follow me on Twitter at Mike is a poet, Mike_the_poet. And put
or Star Fox references.
Yeah, if you want to say something stupid and make a laugh and say, hey, you're funny, let's hunt more often and grow friendships. Play Monster Hunter. It's good.
It really is. It's trust building, I think, because you share one set of lives. So you have to kind of depend on each other, you know? You can't go into it and say, well, I'll carry the team and we'll all be fine. Like, no, you have to grow and learn how each of you hunts and adapt your strategy to that. So if you find, like, a hunting buddy, if you find somebody or multiple people who you spend a lot of time playing with, you're going to kind of grow and learn how to hunt with those people. And it's a video game. Yeah, it's not like you're out in the real world, like, learning real life skills for this, but you're learning how to communicate with another player in a way that is completely unique to this game, and that really makes it really special. It is its own unique bond that you don't get, like, anywhere else, and that's really cool. Yeah. I love that about this game.
That's why I love Monster Hunter. That's why we stick around. Any kind of closing comments, Lucas, you want to add to this? Any kind of, like, last thoughts you have, or?
I guess just, for those of you who are hunting, who maybe aren't as far as us, or those of you who have surpassed us and have done, like, everything there is to do in the game, please keep hunting, because it's the community that keeps this game so strong. For those of you who aren't hunting, start hunting.
Yes.
Like, I will come on with you. I will befriend you, and we will go out hunting together. You don't have to take it super seriously. You don't have to get super far, but let's have some fun, and let's hunt together.
Yes.
That's what the whole game is about.
And if you're a good hunter and you contribute to the community, don't stop. We need you. We don't need the fashion document, like the evil people who don't want to hunt with you if you're not the right level or you don't wear the right armor. We need positive people. So keep playing with us. I think on that note, we have enough for tonight's podcast, and maybe we can get another one going sometime soon. Maybe not, this kind of unrelated, but hopefully we can get Holly and you and I on board for a, how-to monster hunt podcast.
I'm up for anything.
So that's it for this week's special episode. I'm sure there'll be another podcast coming out for the main podcast, but, you can follow Lucas on NintendoFever.com because he doesn't have social media anymore. Or you can friend us on 3DS. I will post our friend codes into the tweet on the Twitter account, and I'll have Holly post them onto our homepage on NintendoFever.com. And if you're listening on YouTube, I'll try to have them into the description as well or something for Holly to put that in there. But that's it. You can follow me on NintendoFever.com or Infendo now if you're trying to expand your Nintendo listenings. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mike_the_poet. That's outside again. And hunt with me anytime you want. I'm always on this game. I did the math. It's going to sound really nerdy. Lucas and I put about 40 hours a week into this game, so we'll be on. We'll be on.
Shamefully. Shamefully.
Yeah, we say shamefully, but we're in the back of our rooms going, yes, more hunting, more hunting.
And we are very beginner-friendly. Absolutely. So, we're there.
I'll take you under your wing. I took Lucas and Holly under my wing. Now look at us. We're doing podcasts about it. If you can see my face right now, I'm so red and gloating right now. Like, yeah, I'm a good hunter. But that's it, guys. Have a good rest of your listening day, and we'll see you next time we're on the podcast. Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.